Jackets Hockey is back. Pick the games you want with a partial season plan or enjoy the ultimate in benefits as a season ticket holder. Head to BlueJackets.com now to learn more.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Rob Aller, Bill Rabinowitz, and Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is made possible by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Buckeye Extra Football Podcast post-Michigan State game, 34-10. Did I get that right?
You did.
For a change?
You got that right.
Buckeyes.
One for one.
Michigan State did not win the game.
There's a saying in the sports writing world, if you get the score right, everything else is the details.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and I don't know if you guys have ever done this. I have written some game stories in my career, which is a long career, 30 years, where I forgot to put the score in the story. Have you ever done that?
In my first job, the editor, I left it blank because it was on deadline. He put in the wrong score. Actually, he left it X to X.
X. Wow.
Which is, you know, it happens.
Joe, have you ever done that? Get close to the microphone, brother.
I haven't done it to my knowledge.
We've only been in the business 2 years or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yeah, 2 months. Okay, so quick summation. We're going to get right to it. This was the best team Ohio State's played, which I wasn't sure that was going to be the case going in. Kind of, you know, Michigan State has the best reputation, but...
You didn't introduce us, by the way.
Well, everyone knows you by now. Bill Rabinowitz, beat writer, book writer, author, published. Joey Kaufman.
Not as much of a household name as this author.
But getting there. You're becoming a TV
person.
He's
going to write the book this year.
Wall-to-Wall Sports. Check Joey out. Wall-to-Wall Sports, Channel 10, Sunday nights.
11:30.
With Dom Tiberi.
Tim May, too.
Tim.
My predecessor.
Yeah, Tim. Tim's on there, too. So now I've introduced you, or you've introduced yourself. Do you feel important now, a little better?
I do, because I need your validation.
Well, you have it. You have it.
What?
Anybody who works in this business and covers a night game, I will validate. Because, you know, here's what we usually say. Night games take months off your life because of the deadline
pressure. If it's a close
one. But if it's a blowout, like today, essentially, and you have time to write, it adds weeks to your life. So there's sort of this net effect of you still lose probably a couple of years off your life, but you'd lose a decade if there weren't blowouts. So, again, summation, best team Ohio State's played easily, I would say. Joey, what do you think?
I would say so. I thought the quarterback was certainly the best they've faced, Brian Lewerke. He was able to make some throws that seemed to kind of test the defense, and a couple of times I felt as if the coverage was not as maybe tight as we saw in previous games. Michigan State had some success hitting the tight ends. I thought they had maybe the best drive I had seen anybody have against Ohio State in the second quarter. They went 75 yards in a minute and 36 seconds, which was kind of a rare mishap for this defense. But Ohio State kind of put its foot on the gas and won pretty easily.
And away they went.
That was the only touchdown drive they had. They had kicked a field goal, missed a short field goal. Ohio State also missed a field goal. This was clearly the best team Ohio State's played. Mm-hmm. I thought Nebraska might be. I thought UC, Cincinnati would be. And Cincinnati proved by beating Central Florida that they are a pretty decent team. But they were overmatched by Ohio State. And I think Michigan State was the first team that wasn't overmatched by Ohio State. Ohio State was better, but Michigan State kind of went toe-to-toe with them for big chunks of the game. First quarter, Ohio State really should have taken control of the game. They had two turnovers and converted them only into one field goal. That could have been the game right there, and Michigan State hung in there. Then Ohio State's offense came alive in the second half. They had 296 yards in the second quarter alone, and that was pretty much the game.
I was going to tee you up here. You've written this column in the past. Previously, how does the team beat Ohio State? And it's kind of been the idea rattling around our brains for most of the season, because if you look at the schedule, you don't see a lot of landmines on it. So how do you beat them? How do you beat them? Well, it seems Michigan State turning the ball over twice in the beginning is really not a formula for success. They force a three and out to start the game, which I thought was kind of a good I mean, that's how you got to do it.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I mean, the column is going to be in the paper. I talked to Jeff Hafley during the week, and he told me that the way an underdog beats the favorite is you've got to come in and take some risks and get creative, trick plays, which, you know, Dino, Mark D'Antonio, usually has trick plays, and there really weren't any trick plays. There was a reverse, I think, and that was it. And then I talked to Brady Quinn, who, you know, out of Dublin Kaufman, Notre Dame quarterback, now is the Fox studio analyst, does some games, I think, too. And interestingly enough, he went this long list of things, you know, the dossier on how to beat the Buckeyes, and a couple of them were, you got to stop the run first, you've got to bring your safeties down to stop Justin Fields from running. He said, test your linebackers with crossing patterns. And I think, Joey, you said it. Exposed is too strong a word, but they definitely threw slants over the middle that were effective and a little bit exposed the linebackers to what something we saw maybe last year, Bill.
It was the first time that you saw even a glimpse of the kind of defensive problems that you saw all of last year. Obviously, you held Michigan State under 300 yards and 10 points. It was far from any kind of disaster. But you could see on individual plays, that one worked. Mm-hmm. And Ohio State was a step slow on this one. The crossing patterns you mentioned, absolutely. There were a couple of those. Seams, the tight end passes over the middle, there were a couple of those. There were some missed tackles. I think Ohio State went for the turnover too often, try to poke the ball free and let guys get extra, you know, 5-10 extra yards. I think that's the kind of stuff when they look at the tape, they're gonna say, okay, we got to clean that up.
What you mentioned, one of the things that Brady Quinn said was stopping the run, which I thought Michigan State did a good job of that early on. You saw Ohio State's first couple of drives. I think it was their second drive where they had about a 3rd and 9, a 3rd and 8 in the Michigan State territory, which was a tough spot, and they tried running it for a first down. They couldn't get it, then they missed a field goal, and there was another 3rd and long where they tried to pass out of it, and Fields misfired. And that's a lot more difficult for him. Most of the times that he's had to make plays have been in pretty great situations where it's first or second short yardage.
Right.
Not a lot of 3rd and longs. He just has, you talk about the adversity that he's faced. It's not only is he not had to make a throw down in a game or tie in a game or in a close fourth quarter, but you just don't see him in having to make a lot of 3rd and longs.
Let's take a break from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
When Rosati Windows arrives at an in-home consultation, we always tell our customer that a house can't talk to you, but it typically will give you signs that something isn't right. A home's windows are particularly communicative. Although they don't last forever, a high-quality, well-maintained window could last for many, many years. One such as a Rosati window. However, at some point, they may not be at their best. So listen carefully to what they are telling you, and you will know that it's time to have them replaced. Are there drafts? Are they damaged or warped? Do they stick when you close or open them? If you answer yes to any of these, then maybe time to call Rosati Windows for an in-home consultation. Learn more at RosatiWindows.com.
Yeah, we're back. Thank you for our sponsors, as always. I talked with Brandon Bowen after the game, and I asked him the right tackle, who did not start. He came back. He had back spasms last week. Josh Allaby started, but then Bowen came in. I think he played most of the game, actually. And I said, what did Michigan State do early on to give you guys problems? And he said that they really did a good job of moving around a lot so that Ohio State couldn't get what they like to do, which is double-team blocks. They were in constant motion. They brought extra guys, and Michigan State always does this. That's their trademark, is they bring safeties into the box and try to outnumber you. And they did that early, and Ryan Day said when teams do that, you just have to eventually wear them down. And that's what Ohio State eventually did. I mean, J.K. Dobbins had that huge 67-yard run. That may have been that, or actually I think the Ben Victor catch and run was the biggest play of the game. And Justin Fields made a terrific play on that. He faked, sold that fake really well, even tucked the ball. Two Michigan State players bit on the fake. He threw it to Victor, and Victor did the rest, running for a 60-yard touchdown. Those were really the two biggest plays of the game. But you mentioned, somebody mentioned early on, you know, Fields had, I think it was Luke Farrell, wide open. I think the first or second drive, and just overthrew him. We have not seen that much at all. You know, he did settle down in the second quarter and had a big second quarter, but it was the first time that Ohio State just didn't look in rhythm on offense.
Threw his first pick, too, by the way, tonight,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Threw off his back foot. His explanation, I thought, was – a little off, in my view. He kind of said he just misread it and threw it, but he was falling backward off his back foot and overthrew the receiver.
Yeah, I don't think KJ Hill was even looking for the ball.
No. You know, here's a silver lining positive, even with that, with as bad as they looked early on, is that this team, maybe last year's team or other Ohio State teams I've seen, they'd have been in a dogfight the whole game.
Right.
This team went to the sideline, the offensive line, the offense met, they figured it out, they made adjustments, and they thrived on that. I mean, if what I saw early on with Michigan State pressuring Justin Fields, if that had gone on the whole game or even a bulk of the game, this is a close game. Yep. And who knows what happens. But boy, they just snuffed out that match there that Michigan State brought, and it was kind of actually pretty easy from that standpoint from then on.
The thing that's really impressive about this team is they can be in a malaise for the whole first quarter, midway through the second quarter, and then a couple plays and they're up by two touchdowns. They just have significantly more talent than everybody that they will play all season, and J.K. Dobbins gets a couple blocks and he outruns four defenders to the end zone. The play where Justin Fields, he's such a dangerous player because on the RPO touchdown that he throws to Ben Victor, he looks like he's going to run it, which buys one of the safeties to come up, and then he dumps it off to Ben Victor, who runs the rest of the way for a touchdown, makes a nice little kind of cut toward the inside, then darts back to the sideline. So you can be Michigan State and play really sound for most of the first quarter on defense, keep them from doing a lot of things, and then a couple snafus and you're down two touchdowns.
Yeah, Justin Fields. Today was the first game that I saw where he really looked elusive as a runner, not just fast, or he'd outrun guys, but he actually made guys miss
in
today.
The pocket. He had that, yes, eyes that in the back of his head thing.
It was a 3-yard scramble, but I don't know how he saw him. Again, a blind side, he spun away from the guy and got 3 yards. For some reason, I think that was on a touchdown drive, so it actually may have been a significant play, but boy, you know, we knew he was fast, we knew he was a big guy, strong guy. But the elusiveness was kind of the last piece of the puzzle in terms of him as a runner that I really hadn't seen. And you saw that today. And you know that Ohio State's been very careful with him because they know that depth is an issue. And so when you're in a blowout game especially, you're not going to do anything that you don't have to in terms of risk. As the season gets on, as we get to the Wisconsins and the Penn States and the Michigans, you're going to have to do more of that. And so I thought that was encouraging for an Ohio State fan to see Justin Fields. Oh, yes, he can make guys miss too.
I would agree. Here's the word for the night. Well, there's two words for this game. They were throwing around post-game. Ryan Day talked about toughness. Mm-hmm. You know, game ball. You know, Joey's got a story on this. Went to Mickey Marotti, the strength coach, because, you know, they finally played a four-quarter game. They held up. And then the other thing, which to me is even more important, is rhythm. I mean, if you really want to watch this team moving forward, the whole challenge is to knock them out of rhythm. Michigan State did it early, then Ohio State found their rhythm again, and when they're in rhythm, they're among the top. I've been doing this for 25 years. They're among the top five teams offensively that I've seen when they're in rhythm.
Yeah, because they could do it in every way imaginable.
Right.
You could give it to the running back. You could let the quarterback run. You can let the quarterback pass. You can make tough throws, or you can just get the ball in the receiver's hands and let them do the work. You got an offensive line that's, for the most part, very good.
That was the thing I thought was so disheartening for Michigan State in the early goings, because they did get Ohio State off rhythm, and then they shot themselves in the foot. Ohio State ends up missing a field goal, and then you get the ball right back to them by fumbling the ball in back-to-back possession. You can't do that if you're going to play this team. You have to basically be perfect or be able to match them with big plays. And unless you're Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, I don't see anybody being able to match them in terms of big plays.
You know, another thing, back to Brady Quinn, because he had some, he was very thoughtful in terms of how you beat Ohio State. First of all, he prefaced everything with saying, good luck. They're very, very, very good. I'm a little surprised that there haven't been a little more gimmicky defenses, you know, blitz, bringing safety blitzes, anything to throw Justin Fields off. I mean, test him how fast he picks up defenses, coverages, pressure.
Did Michigan State not do that?
Well, they did it a little bit. I mean, I just don't – there's got to be other ways. There's got to be other ways to do it. I mean, but we're not seeing it. They're either picking these things up. I don't know what you guys have noticed. They're either picking up the blitzes from odd angles, and if they can do that, they can go a long, long way.
Well, a couple times Justin Fields was blitzed or pressured.
Stepped out of it.
Stepped out of it.
Yep.
So that's part of it. It was interesting because I asked Fields about adjustments. And he said, no, they really didn't make any adjustments. They just executed, which tells you that Ohio State believes if we do what we are supposed to do as an offense, well, we think we can move the ball on anyone. That's Ohio State's point of view. And right now, it's really hard to argue with that because nobody has really slowed them down. I mean, this is a good Michigan State team. This is a better Michigan State team than I thought they would be. I thought they were going to be just kind of overmatched. They would be tough. Yes, you knew that. But they would just, the speed factor, I thought it would be a little bit like Cincinnati, where they just, the talent would just be so obvious. And, you know, and Kenny Willekes, their best defensive player, probably didn't, he didn't do a whole lot. I mean, he made some plays, but he wasn't dominating. And they've got some other good players. And I think if you're Michigan State, you walk away from this game thinking, if we hadn't shot ourselves in the foot, we might have had a chance in this game. Penalties and, you know, the turnovers, obviously. And, you know, they did some stupid stuff. I mean, I respect them a lot. I think they're a good team, but they just made too many mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying this every week. Like, when's the test coming? Well, today there was an early test. And I think they were tested in some respects the entire game, as you said, Bill. There was more... The talent was more even, it seemed like, or at least played up to the talent they have than any game I've seen. I thought the receivers were sure-handed. Michigan State's, I thought they were, you know, they pretty much got the job done. Yeah, they shot themselves in the foot. But this looked like a Big Ten game. This looked like two Big Ten teams to me. And I don't think I've seen, you know, Indiana, Nebraska. This was legit.
I think Ryan Day, I can't remember the quote verbatim, but he said something that it was hard, it was gritty, it was tough. Yeah. I felt like you could have put that on the Big Ten commercial right there. It's the little slogan under Ten.
Yeah, I mean, and yet Ohio State, they can, I guess what impressed me was they played hard, they played tough, but they still have that skill and that finesse that can just destroy you if you just let your guard down for a second. Joey said that earlier.
Yeah, when you've got 4- and 5-star guys everywhere. Yeah. I mean, Chris Olave didn't have a catch today. Am I right about that? I'm pretty sure he did not.
I think that's correct, and that's amazing.
I mean, you think about that, and you think about...
He's arguably their best receiver.
Right. You know, and you, I mean, you always feel like you're playing with fire when you go against them because one little slip up, and it's a touchdown.
You guys would have a better vantage point on this than me because you watched the previous teams up close. But where would you rank this team's overall talent compared to past Ohio State teams? Because to me, they are so loaded on offense.
I think the 2014-15 teams were probably more talented, but you didn't really see it consistently.
I'm not sure they were a receiver.
No, no, not a receiver. Well, you had Michael Thomas, who was underutilized.
Well, he was one. I agree.
You had Devin Smith.
You're talking overall, not just skill.
I thought of receiver because of the depth and talent they have, but just, I mean overall on the roster.
I think 2014 at the end, you know, they were spectacular in the playoff and the postseason. 2015, you thought they would be. I think that team was just kind of hamstrung by the quarterback situation. And the whole pressure of being defending champion, they never really played until the very end of the year to their ability. But in terms of pure talent, I think those teams probably more talented. Look what they've done in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see where this O-line ends up ranking because we'll see. We just had an interloper. An interloper has entered our room.
Would you like to join our podcast?
Jerry.
The irrepressible interloper?
The interloper.
I referred to Jerry as irrepressible in a tweet, and he was very happy about that.
Jerry Emig, the sports information director, football.
Do you have any tidbits you'd like to pass on to us during this podcast?
He's got to get closer to the mic, though.
Yeah, you got to get closer to the mic. He's standing in front of a picture of Snoopy from Peanuts. I'm not sure what the connection is there.
The connection there is the great D.C. Kale was a Snoopy fan. And
former SID.
Yeah, former SID at Late Ohio SID. State, statistician guy, good guy. Passed away about 6 years ago, and we found this in some of his stuff, and I said, that Snoopy needs to come in this. Because this is the statistician room. Is this what our fans our fans think we are at. We're in the statistician.
Well, they don't know where we are. But now,
do they know what time it is?
We are irrepressible, Jerry. We
or is this live?
This is live. We're on. Yeah. So now you're
we're
famous.
On right now.
You're more famous than you already are.
Enjoy, guys.
All right. So
I think that was our first cameo.
That might have been. That was a cameo. So you were talking about the best teams. I'm not sure that this offensive line.
Most
talented. I don't know about this offensive line yet. It looks really good, but because they're so new, there's not a body of work to go off of. You know,
there's not Orlando Pace on this line. There's not somebody that's like, oh my God, on third and four, you run behind this guy and you've got the first down.
But you look at the defensive line. You have Chase Young.
That's a different animal.
Well, those are two first round picks. You have J.K. Dobbins, who is a draft pick of some sort. Higher Fields is a first round pick in two years.
And
Benjamin Victor will get picked because his size and.
Malik Harrison is going to be a pro. Damon Arnett has put himself in position to be a pro. Sean Wade, I think, might be the most underrated player on the team. I mean, he's just a really, really good player.
Speaking of Jordan Fuller, to me, you know, he almost had the pick six, and it was a shame. I mean, he made a pick, and he danced down the sideline, made a really nice return. What would that have been, like 70 yards?
No, 60? Longer than that. Probably like 90. We caught that about the 10.
Okay, so a long touchdown that came back because
of a blind side.
Is it Garrett? Garrett?
No. It was Baron Browning.
Oh, Baron Browning. That's right.
Offense, defense.
Yeah. Baron Browning.
Who had the tip that created
looked, the... The
viewers aren't going to like that one.
Oh, no, they're going to hate.
Garrett Wilson doesn't play defense.
Well, he could. He could. On this team, he's that good. He's Garrett Wilson, you're
that's
really
your way
good.
Of justifying your...
Screw up. Yeah. So, Baron Browning, linebacker. Do I have that right, Bill?
Yes, you do.
Columnists
don't have to know anything.
I knew it.
He could play anywhere, too.
Yeah, he could. He could play anywhere. I never get down on the officials. That's not what I do. I get ticked off when people blame the refs for a game, and it has to be really egregious, like the Saints-Rams. I thought that was a bad call. I thought they were blindsided. Yeah, it's because if somebody's running in front of you,
they turn.
and you hit them, I guess he's not looking at you, so it's blindsided. It was a bad call.
The guy could have made the tackle if Baron Browning hadn't blocked him.
And
it was at worst side to side. I mean, it was like...
It wiped out a really nice...
Yeah. But it would have been it didn't affect the outcome of the game, obviously.
And Dobbins got one wiped out, too, right?
Yeah, a long run.
Not a touchdown.
There was a run that was negated because of Garrett Wilson's holding penalty.
That's what I'm thinking. There's a lot going on back.
I saved you.
Thank you. Thank you, Joey. So let's take a break, hear from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
Hey, football fans, leave the Hail Marys for the game and go for a sure thing when it comes to satisfying your craving. When you pick up Raising Cane's for game day, all you have to worry about is the score, because we've got the food covered. With hand-battered, cooked-to-order, always fresh, never ever frozen chicken fingers, craveable cane sauce, and jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. One love.
Okay, we're back. We're back from the press box high above Ohio Stadium, which I found out is 11 stories high. This press box, we're 11 stories up. And let's talk about the uniforms. We might as well. The black uniforms, they had the throwback.
The black guys?
The what?
Black guys.
Is that what they call them?
No, black uniforms, Buckeyes, black guys.
Oh, okay.
I got it.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't think I was being obtuse or anything.
No.
I thought it was good.
Yeah,
I wasn't trying to be cute.
No. So here we are. I don't like the black uniforms.
It's hard to see the numbers.
Get off my lawn, guy here. If you're gonna do like a throwback, vintage, an honor, a previous era team, I'm okay with that. this honors nothing but merchandising money. They do this so that people buy black jerseys and they make money. This goes along, now I'm on my soapbox, this goes along with the Ohio State University and trying to monetize that. And I just don't think if you're Ohio State that you mess with a classic uniform. Penn State doesn't do it. Michigan's tried to do it the year they did the bumblebee thing, but they keep the helmet.
The
Michigan keeps the helmet. And I just, the black, why don't they wear their silver helmet with the black uni? That's what they ought to do.
I don't know if it'd be any better. I mean, Notre Dame's done it, and they've been pretty abysmal looking, too. I guess it's just sort of...
Notre Dame's done a black helmet?
No, but they've gone with some really kind of kooky looks.
Yeah, and they shouldn't. But I think they've always had the gold helmet. The Golden Dome. Bill, where are you on?
You don't care about this stuff, do you?
Fans care a lot.
I care about this. If it was my team, if I was an Ohio State fan, I would not like it.
And you're, how old are you?
29.
Yeah, see, you're millennial. You're millennial, and so it's not just old fogies.
He's a young
like
fogey.
You, Bill.
He's no, I mean, fogey.
He's a young fogey.
You have a classic look. UCLA did the same thing where
you're talking about Ohio State. Okay.
UCLA is the same
thing. Get back to California, didn't we? Some brought California.
But they have the most crisp looking baby blue uniforms and the gold helmets. It's great.
They're soft.
Whatever.
That's
it. It's the soft program. It goes with it.
USC's got great uniforms.
Yeah, they don't mess with it. Alabama, do they mess with it? No.
Speaking of UCLA, another tough day for Ryan Day's guy.
Oh, yeah.
Chip Kelly.
Did they go down?
They lost to Oregon State.
Oh, Oregon State. Wow.
And that's a bad uniform, too, Oregon State. Beavers.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I'm saying is Ohio State doesn't need to be Oregon. They don't need to have this many, but that's neither here nor there.
This is where we are in terms of the guys.
That's where we are. As I said, you have to search this hard for a negative about a team, then you are going to the playoffs, or you got a pretty good shot of doing it.
The worst ones they wore, I thought, were actually the all grays from in 17 against Penn State. It was all gray.
That was
and
nasty.
Black. That was bad.
1968 classic.
Not only have they
71, the big numbers, big
yeah,
numbers,
the big like numbers, that. The gray on the sleeve with the black, you know. Anyhow,
they could probably design better black uniforms.
Wear the silver helmet with the black, whatever, you know.
Or wear white numbers.
Hey, you kids.
Or wear white numbers on the black uniforms with a red outline. I mean, there are a lot of better ways to do it.
As my kids used to say, we beat this horse dead, right? So
I like uniform discussions.
Yeah, well,
you can continue it elsewhere.
Yeah, go drive when you're driving home. Talk to yourself about the uniform.
You brought it up. You were the one.
We not talk about for an hour. All right, so... how do we finish this up?
Well,
Ohio
State now goes into its off week. It's first of two off weeks.
Yeah.
Season is half over.
You could say the first five games were off weeks. But
actually,
the regular season is half over. Ohio State finally got somewhat of a test today. Off, they play Northwestern in 2 weeks, a Friday night game, then the big one against Wisconsin, which we think is probably going to be a noon game. Like the big
first
game.
We're hoping.
Don't let the card get in front of the horse.
Or don't beat that horse dead, by the way. All right, so we're done with that, and...
Well, we got to remember, it's their idle this week. It's not a bye week. It's
off week. I said off week.
They're off.
Okay, just making sure.
It's not a bye, okay.
Because a bye is you have a bye for the first round of a tournament.
All right, how about bye-bye? We're going to wrap this up and say goodbye from Ohio Stadium. There's another bye. I thought they only had two byes. Anyhow.
They have two idle weeks.
Bad dad joke. So, it's a beautiful view. We're looking out over the sort of lit stadium field.
It is a beautiful stadium. I will say that. It is a beautiful stadium.
It's regal.
It is just... I do every time I come here, every week...
You get a tear in your eye.
I don't get a tear in my eye. I do, but I do appreciate... This has been here almost 100 years.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's coming up. See how much more... money they can make. And there were some empty seats.
I didn't even notice.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I didn't really notice that.
During the blackout. It was a blackout. It was a fun game. I think the crowd was into it. I could, you know, more than usual. I could hear it through the glass. Tapping the glass here. It's got to be, this is like, how thick is this press box glass? It's like a couple inches anyhow.
The band was good. They did a little Neil Armstrong.
Band's always good.
Band is always
band,
good.
The band's
always
number
worth,
one. Yeah, number one. Right. So to Biddle. That's it from Ohio Stadium. Buckeyes 6-0. They have an off week. They come back again against Northwestern, at Northwestern, a Friday night game.
And what was the score?
Tonight?
Yeah.
34-10.
Just making sure you
And
remember.
I predicted 38-10, so I was pretty close.
As you would say, you got it wrong.
Wrong again. All right. For Bill and Joey, this is Rob. Sayonara.
The Buckeye Extra podcast is brought to you by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. Game day tastes better with Raising Cane's tailgates full of 24-hour marinated and battered chicken fingers.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.